In the words of Paul, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, considering the unfolding development of the coronavirus outbreak here in China, it has become necessary, and rightly so, to send out a word of truth and love to all of you, hoping it will encourage us to stand firm in the truth of His word and in His love. Very important to note from the beginning that the attack that the enemy has unleashed on this ground is a wrong move. And he will ever regret for doing this in this time with us in this land. Again, somebody say amen. He did it before in a similar fashion in the times of SARS. He's back again. But this time around, we have grown more wiser and we are taking our rightful position in this matter. The truth. We, the believers in Christ, are children of God, and the land belongs to God and therefore ours. We are not just a bunch of foreigners passing by. We have a stake in this land because God has a stake in this land. Secondly, God sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for all mankind, including this nation, and therefore we will not be on the sidelines watching. He is touching the inheritance of God, our inheritance. Yes, he has made a wrong move. Now, some of you may not get exactly what I mean by saying that the enemy has made a wrong move again. By this statement, impliedly, I am saying he had made a wrong move in the past. In fact, he always makes a wrong move against God and his children. It is true. If you will recall how he, the enemy, mastered the crucifixion of Jesus. He took Jesus, puts him inside the earth after crucifying him on the cross. He puts him inside the earth. That is the tomb, if you will. Unknown to him, Jesus is the seed of woman, the seed of the woman spoken about in Genesis. Not just a seed, but uncorruptible seed. Now stay with me on this. I'll try to explain. When you sow a seed inside the earth, what happens? The natural law takes effect. The seed sprouts, pushes the earth away, and comes out. Jesus Christ came back to life after 3 days in the grave. Completely victorious over the enemy. And he handed us the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you have to understand something else about the strategy of the enemy. You know, we shouldn't be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Let the truth be spoken here. The enemy is smart and very strategic. He is not stupid. Now when he unleashes his fury, his attack, he aims beyond just one thing. Sometimes he kills those he already imprisoned, but most of the time he aims at those that are not his. Think about that. I will talk more about this later in the warning or awakening that God has passed to me, to you all. Now, beloved of God, in this time of speculations, imaginations, wide imaginations, and the questions that people ask now and then, what is happening? When will it end? How is the situation? How are my friends doing it? But before I go into that word of truth and love, Say with me, let us look at some facts on ground about this situation. It is confirmed there is an outbreak of coronavirus here in China. From the People's Daily Online, Xinhua, as of today, January the 25th, 2020, China has reported or confirmed a total of 1,287 cases of this new coronavirus pneumonia, with 41 deaths already. And in Wuhan, that is Hubei province, the epicenter, out of these 41, 39 deaths are from that place. Now, cases outside this country have been also confirmed. Countries like Thailand, Japan, Korea, France, Vietnam, and the United States. In fact, about 2 cases, I guess, in the United States. The World Health Organization, through its Director General, Tedros, said on Thursday, the WHO is yet to declare the outbreak of this novel coronavirus, in China, a public health emergency of international concern. However, he emphasized that we make no mistake, though, this is an emergency in China. So with those facts on ground, now, let us go to the word of truth and love. I will title my short exhortation as the word of truth and love in this current situation. The word of truth and love in this current situation. Please note, this word of truth and love fits every situation that we may ever face in this life. That word, truth and love, in this current situation may appear or sound a little bit off note, considering the crisis on ground. Someone will say, what is here to talk about love? I believe at this time people will rather want to hear the truth, facts about the situation than to talk about love. But as we have been discussing about the theme of the year for us at HICF, both truth and love are needed in all situations or circumstances in our lives. Truth and love cannot be separated, as we have learned. In fact, they complete each other. They are not independent. Rather, they are interdependent. Truth seeks love and love seeks truth. They watch the back of each other. And we have also learned that truth and love must be balanced. Love at the expense of truth is a hidden poison that gradually eats the recipient, while truth at the expense of love breeds hate in the recipient. The second book of John, verses 1 to 3, can be summarized as truth is the foundation, while love is the fulfillment of truth. In that same John, the second letter, chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. In this current situation, we need the truth about the health hazards of this virus. But this truth must be served in love. I believe it is because of the truth of what this virus could cause that government is taking drastic measures to combat the hazards, dangers of this virus. This act is nothing but love to prevent loss of lives. While the government, through its various units, parastatals, are working hard, some risking their lives, doctors spending days in the hospital without going home, and the nurses, volunteers, the military are working hard to combat this menace. What is our response as believers in Christ Jesus? To hear the news updates, watch movies, eat and sleep, avoid going to public places? While this practically is true, however, we can do better because of the knowledge of the Word of God in us, the truth and the love that is in us. I pray what I will be sharing or exhorting us will strengthen, encourage, and even guide us on how we should respond in this circumstance. Reading from one of the scripture texts of the theme of this year, 2 John verse 3, it reads, "Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love." Brothers and sisters, in other words, this verse is saying that if only we will remain in the truth of God's word and in His love, God's grace will be with us through this period, through this turbulence, through this flood, through this Red Sea, and always, not only in this time. What is God's grace? We're talking about His salvation. Are you with me? What I'm trying to put here is coronavirus cannot touch my salvation. Somebody say amen. My salvation is intact. Grace of God will always be, my salvation will always be intact. Your salvation is intact, coronavirus or no coronavirus. That's a fact that we should hold in whatever circumstances. God's grace, salvation is intact. Somebody say amen. 2, God's mercy will be upon us in this period and always. The truth of this virus is, it's a killer virus. The truth, 1, human efforts are good and is helpful, but not enough. The truth is, we need the power of God, God's mercy, to stop the fast-spreading virus. And finally, the truth is that we need to be on our knees praying for ourselves and standing in the gap on behalf of this nation. Thirdly, God's peace will be upon us in this period and always. Peace in the midst of storm. But how can people live in peace when this virus is breathing fire on humans? People are living in fear. When there is fear, certainly there will be no peace. It is winter, but it is hot out there in the hospital, in the intensive care units. It is hot out there for people that have lost their loved ones. It is hot out there for families that are separated from loved ones. Brothers and sisters, as believers in Christ Jesus, from the scriptures we know the kind of peace we are talking about. This peace of God is not about the absence of violence or war, nor is it about the presence of law, orderliness, and security. It is not about the presence of harmony, tranquility, and serenity. It is not about the presence of coronavirus or absence of it. Brothers and sisters, this peace can only come to us when we trust in God's love towards us. If we rely on His promises, while storm is raging, there is kind of peace that keeps you unscattered, unperturbed, not worried. The storm is raging, but you can sleep. You remember the story of Jesus in that both with His disciples. He slept while the storm is raging. The peace is the confidence we have in our God that no harm will befall us. It's the assurance that God, in all circumstances, we trust that He is working for the good of us, even though what is seen physically contradicts what we are saying. Man, each man need that inner peace that comes from God to guard our hearts from this terror that is flying all over, seeking whom to devour. Now let me come to that warning that I said that God has given me to bring it to all of us. I want you to listen carefully. As I was saying earlier, that you have to understand that the enemy is very strategic in his war against humanity. But thank God, God is 1,000 million times ahead of him. And so for us, if we remain in his truth and love. Now when the enemy unleashes his fury and attack, as I've said, he sometimes kills those he imprisoned. But most of the time he goes beyond those. He aims at those that are not his. Now look at it this way. Because of this outbreak, we can't hold church service, which is legitimate reason to hold back the service to avoid large public gathering. But certainly the enemy is happy that we don't get to meet. That's a wrong move. Somebody say a wrong move. The enemy have made a wrong move. We will refuse him that happiness. His happiness will be turned into regrets. For those that are sensitive and alert, it is time to be fired. Praying for the souls of men that he is destroying. Snatching them from the jaws of death. Yes, it is a wrong move. Because we are going beyond the threat of this virus. Now, you don't get that what I'm trying to say. You see, sometimes, for lack of better example, let me put it this way. When you violate one traffic rule and the police stops and begins to check you up, then he finds out that your driving license is expired. Your insurance is expired. Are you getting it now? You don't get it? The enemy has made a wrong move again. Somebody say amen. Wrong move with this coronavirus. Because we are not only stopping the spread of the coronavirus, but we are taking him for other weapons, arsenals he has in place that he intends to use to attack again. Are you getting it now? We are taking him for what he has wrongfully taken or is controlling that he's not supposed to do. Come on, somebody begin to attack, begin to retreat back. Yes, he has made a wrong move. We will take this opportunity to open the prison doors. Hallelujah. We will take this opportunity to open blind eyes. We will take this opportunity to give hearing to the deaf. We will give hope to the hopeless. We will take this opportunity to unite. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Now let me press back to that warning, particularly for those who think they are not affected. Don't think for 1 minute you are safe. It is far from you. Recall the Israelites. Nebuchadnezzar took them into captivity, including Daniel and others that are faithful children of God. Now you understand what I'm talking about. Therefore, it is no time to sleep. No time for just watching movies. Arise, arise and join the army of God to fight the enemy. He is coming in the form of coronavirus to claim lives that have not known Jesus. The last time he came in the form of SARS. Now he's coming in the form of coronavirus. It's one family. They all belong to one thing. Brothers and sisters, we are here for many reasons as individuals, but I believe one that is common to all of us is when we utilize the authority and power of God to stop, rebuke, prevent the enemy from bringing harm to God's creation. We are responsible to help the blind, to guide the blind. We need to be on our knees and cry out for mercies as we continue to do our human best. We need to be on our knees to pray for doctors, health workers. We need to be on our knees to pray for the government for wisdom and understanding. We need to be on our knees to be awakened, to be alert, to be watchful, to stop the enemy before he even unleashes his evil plan again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, the word of God is saying in Isaiah 42 verse 22, "Turn to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." King James Version puts this, the beginning phrase, "Look unto me." Brothers and sisters, whatever you look at will speak back to you. When you look at something black, the object that is colored black talks back to you, even though no verbatim, but it tells you it is black. When you look at a tall person, without the tall person talking to you, you know that person is tall, he's talking to you. When you look at nothing, nothing speaks back to you. The prophet Isaiah is reminding us of the words of truth and love. God is saying in this time and always, in all situations, if only we will look at Him, He is God and there is no any other. He will speak back to us. He will tell us what is happening. He will tell us the solution. He will give us the solutions to every situation. If you look elsewhere, those things will tell us things that are not, that are earthly, no eternal solution. What they will tell us is going to be temporal. But God is saying, "Look unto me. I will tell you what is eternal." God is saying, are you not tired of looking elsewhere for your needs? Are you not tired? You drank from other worlds, yet thirsty? Have you not looked enough to somebody that have continually failed you? Have you not looked into doctors, hospitals, yet no healing? Rouse yourself and look up to God. Build your hope in Him. The moment you look and stay gazed on Him, the moment salvation comes, the moment deliverance comes to you. I encourage each one of you to stop by the HICF online testimony and prayer room. Join others in prayers. As you join others in prayers, you'll be ministered. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are sure you have made distinction between Egypt and Goshen. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank you for distinction between us children in this land. However, when your son prayed for his disciple, he also made a prayer for those that are yet to come to his knowledge. You also told us the parable of the Good Samaritan. With all this truth, we pray for the land of China. Help the government, the doctors, the international community to bring this plague to an end in Jesus' name. Thank you for the universal body of believers praying for us here in China. Thank you for the victory. Thank you that in all circumstances, in all situations, you always work for the good of your children. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.